This guy is so starless. Baby, this guy is so starless. Baby, you got me growing heartless. So heartless, girl, it's starless. Starless, yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right, welcome back. Red Light Special, episode number 11. What you just heard was our theme music from Jake and Papa. The song is called Starless. And I think, you know, our homies from L.A. is finally going to be up here in September next month. So, yep. You know, they got to come here first for that first interview. Chris, you ready for that?
Yep, I'm ready. Nikki Jeezy gave us the word they're going to be out here doing a show. So we'll be there at SOB's.
Yeah, nah, that's going to be dope. But here we are, episode 11. Last episode was a doozy. I felt like it was just great, man. We had Audrey Rose come through. She sang for us, man. We played some new music. We talked about music. And then we had Bridget Kelly come through, too, man. It was like a party up in here last week, man. I think that might be my favorite episode to date, man.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, man. Chris, what you been up to, man? What did you do since I seen you last?
Acting. Well, I actually got into, I don't know if you've seen, like, the workshops that I do with Anthony Mandel. Well, that I've taken with him. He's from L.A., so he has a couple schools for acting, and I officially got offered a seat in his acting school to start an intro course. So it's 6 weeks. I just finished week one, and actually one of the girls actually offered me a spot, well, a role in a theater project that she's going to be working on for 2016. So it's going to be like a dumbed-down version of Shakespeare.
Right.
I don't know if you're into Shakespeare at all or anything, but
sure, why not?
Yeah, so it'll be cool because like my whole lane is and my interest is film and drama and TV, it'll be my first theater project, so that's interesting and exciting.
That'll be dope. I see it. I'll go. Wait, how much the tickets?
I don't know.
I might pay.
I got you.
I might pay like up to $35. If it's more than $35, I don't know. You might have to come.
Shakespeare's not worth that much for you. What you've been up to?
You know, I was gonna make a joke, but nah, I'm good. I'm gonna come check you out. I've been low key working on some big things coming. I can't say what it is quite yet, but not yet. It's been an eventful week though. On Friday, shout out to Sky Zoo because you remember we was in the Apple Store to do our Red Light Special, our in store, and they invited me back. The homie Sky Zoo from Brooklyn had an in store at the Apple Store in Soho in New York City, and Brian and Pablo and the homie Mike Sean and Sky asked me to come out, so I hosted and moderated a Q&A with Sky, and then he performed. So that was pretty cool, man, just see the fans come out.
Well, he did a song or two?
He did like a whole concert. He did like his whole album. He wasn't playing.
Damn.
Yeah, man. He shut down the whole Apple Store, so shout out to Sky Zoo. And one time I want to send a real rest in peace shout out to Sean Price, man. You know, the hip-hop community, the music community lost a real one, man. I know I used to look up to Sean back when I was, like, in high school when he was just popping. I was going to Brooklyn Tech. We used to cut school and go to Fulton Mall. And we used to see him. He must have first been getting that duck down money. Like, his stuff was playing on Hot 97 all day, and he'd be, like, outside of Macy's, like, with just bags of polo stuff. Like,
fly.
Sure to go to school. And, you know, coming up in the industry and actually working in the industry and getting to know him, you know, a little bit better, man. He was always a cool dude, man. So he passed away on Saturday, man. It's just sad news. So rest in peace to Sean Price. Our condolences go out to his family.
Definitely. I feel like it's been a rough year for not just, I don't want to just specify hip hop, even though it really has been a tough year for hip hop and rap. But in general, I feel like this year there's just so many, and it's not even like deaths, you know, for a reason. I feel like a lot of, you know, people that I know or, you know, in the music industry have just, it's kind of been like, for no reason at all. I mean, he passed away in his sleep, right?
Yeah, he passed away in his sleep. And, yeah, man. So, yeah, it's just the hip-hop community's been hard hit. And, you know, here at Red Light Special, you know, we discuss and deal with R&B, but we hip-hop heads too, man. Mm-hmm. So, you know, rest in peace, Sean Price. My brother Pumpkinhead, man. Chinks, of course. ASAP Yams, man. It's been a rough one, man. But, you know, tell the ones that's close to you that you love them, man. Give people the flowers while they can still smell them. Word up.
Word.
Real quick, too, man, I wanted to get into, you know, over at MTV, we premiered this video. We have MTV Jam of the Week, and it's an R&B joint. Tory Lanez has this new song called Say It, where he samples Brownstone's If You Love Me.
I haven't heard it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Nah, the song is dope. The video is real cool because Tory Lanez is dope because, like, it's like real R&B and you know, especially that song, like, it feels, but he look like a rapper. Like,
the name sounds like a rapper too. I mean, I thought, yeah, Tory Lanez, before I ever listened to anything, I thought Tory Lanez was a rapper.
Nah, Tory is doing this thing, and you know,
but he's dope.
It shit. He's look harder than a lot of these rappers now, man. But he's singing R&B, man, and that's dope. That just brought in the range of what the genre can do. So shout to him. And then you pointed out to me, you actually sent me this new joint. R. Kelly got a new one, right? Talk
Backyard
about
Party. I love it. I love it. I love it. R. Kelly actually mentioned that he's, you know, with his album coming out in September, that he's gonna do something. The reason why he named it Buffet is because there's going to be something for everybody on that album. So whether you listen to him, you know, when he came out with Chocolate Factory, or you listen to him and it's kind of like new R. Kelly, there's something for everyone. He wants to please all his fans, because when he does concerts, he said, you know, people request songs and it'll range from one year to another. And just like, he has such a span of music. But Backyard Party sounds like Step in the Name of Love to me. Mm-hmm. It has like that two-step, that groove. And it's just like, I could picture an all-white party or an all-white barbecue, you know, just putting the, you know, food on the grill and just drinking and just vibing. Like, that's the kind of vibe that I get from this song. But I love it.
Yeah, nah, it's definitely dope. Yeah, I don't know about an all-white barbecue, though, man. That sounds messy.
Yeah, for people, man, like me.
Nah, man, but nah, it's definitely dope. And shout out to Kells, man, once again, for being a guest on the Red Light Special a couple of episodes back. I know when that Buffet album, we're going to get him back. Putting that in the universe.
Can't wait for that.
Shout out to Kels. And also want to shout out Bridget Kelly, who was with us last week, man. She has a show up in SOBs on Thursday, August 13th, in support of her new album, Summer 17. Go cop that album, man. It's a really dope album. It captures like a vibe, man. It's like playful and fun and carefree, but there's a message in it too. And I spoke to Bridget for MTV News, so we got an article and an interview up with Bridget right now. But you know, on Thursday, go check her out at SOBs, man. It's gonna be a good time.
Definitely.
You going?
I think so. I mean, how can I not, you know? Yeah. Bridget is dope. She's gonna put on one hell of a show. I don't doubt that at all. And her pen game on that album that she put out, Summer of 17, her pen game is actually, if you listen to the lyrics, she's got some dope songs on there. And it's not too many, so it's like just right.
Yeah.
But I definitely want to see her do that in person, so I'm going to go check that out.
Nah, I'm with it. Plus, she says she got surprise guests coming, too, so check that out. I
have an idea of who that might be, but keep my lips shut.
No doubt. But, yo, for this week, man, we got, man, I'm so happy, man. This young lady, man, I first got hip to her by my homie Billy J from the Initiative Group, man. He sent me a video that I posted to MTV. And I don't know if she was feeling the post, though. We're going to get into that real quick.
Why not?
I might have oversold it. So, yeah, man, she's from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And she got this EP called Distorted Fairy Tales that came at the very end of 2014. And we're still bumping it, you know what I'm saying, to this day. You know, and that's just the tip of the iceberg. Like, I'm hearing some big things coming from this young lady, man, and we're really excited to have her. She's done big things in the past, and there's big things coming in the future. So I want you to give a Red Light Special welcome to Polly A. What's good?
Hey. What's up? What's up? What's up? Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for coming. Thank you for coming. We good? We good? Can I tell this story?
Yeah. I'm interested. Explain.
So, you know, listen, man, working at MTV, like, it's hard to figure out where artists fit. I see it as a puzzle. Every day is a puzzle on how you cover artists and how you cover. And obviously, the demographic is big. You know, I'm the hip-hop editor there, so we do hip-hop. But, you know, Miley Cyrus stories are always huge. Every time Kim Kardashian takes another selfie, that story goes through the roof. So it's just like finding the right timing and the right angle. And I came across this video for this song that I like called Nature that Billy J sent me. And it was a really dope song. And in it, Miss Polly A it's like she had the answer to why men cheat. Right? So you know, it's in their nature, right?
So to speak. I wasn't really, but that's how, yeah.
That's yeah. how I saw it. That's how I interpreted it.
That's how you saw it. Yeah, yeah.
And so my headline was, this video is going to explain to you Why Old Men Cheat.
With like the saddest girl. A picture of like the saddest girl in the world, just like frowning, like crying.
Heartbroken.
You made her sound and look emo, Rob?
Yeah, like.
And it went through the roof. It did better than any Kim Kardashian post, any Miley Cyrus post that day.
Yeah, shout out to the love. That was love. That was
but,
love.
But then I felt bad because I seen Polly on her Twitter having to just like beat all the haters off with a stick. She's like, that's not what I'm saying.
So. It attracted every male that's never cheated who felt like I was saying all of you guys cheat. And it was like
it was generalized.
Yeah, they were they were automatically, before they even heard the song, they were automatically like mad. Like, oh, you just saying all men cheat? No, girls cheat too. Like, da-da-da. And you're like, yo, I didn't even say
Rob's
that.
Rob's got a cult following, so you got to be careful. When he posts you on his Twitter or on MTV or wherever he's at, you got to know that that's going to...
Yeah, that was my first.
Your Twitter is going to be bombarded. Just know that.
First of all, I don't believe those guys. I feel like anybody, if you're a man, and not all men cheat, we know this. Like, yeah. If you're not a man and you're not cheating, you're not offended.
Right.
Right.
Guilty conscious.
I feel like the ones who went hard at you on Twitter might be the biggest offenders now because they trying to show out in front of their girl. Oh, not me. Oh.
I'm loyal.
Get it, babe. No. No.
Yeah, they went hard.
So talk about the song and the video, because the video too, I love it because it starts with a skit with your grandmother, right?
Well, yeah, it was like it's supposed to be my aunt. Like, okay. My family's Jamaican, so I got one of my mother's friends to come and do like the part of like my aunt, kind of just giving me advice, like, oh man, I just like I can't seem to find a guy that's just really just about me. He's, you know, and so she tells a story of the scorpion and the frog, and that's pretty much how the story was inspired. I heard the story of the scorpion and frog, where it's like the frog, you know, is trying to get across the moat, or the scorpion is trying to get across the moat, and he sees a frog and he's like, can you take me across? And the frog's like, no, you're gonna sting me. He's like, no, I'm not gonna sting you, you better be fine, I'm not gonna sting you. He's like, no, I think you're gonna sting me. He's like, no, trust me, I won't sting you. So halfway across, he stings them, and then they both are sinking. He's like, why would you do that? Now we're both gonna die. He's like, it's in my nature. So that actually was a story told to me by a guy who, when I was going through like just male issues, he tells me that story, and I was like, okay, well, thank you. Like, now what am I supposed to, you know, I'll make it into a song, but it was pretty much the most pessimistic story.
Was the guy who told you that the one that you were going through issues with, or?
No, it was a friend.
It was a friend, okay.
Yeah, like kind of like being like, yo, like, this is what it is. Like, you're going to beat your head against the wall forever. Like, this is the game you're playing.
This is what guys do.
Right.
This is what guys do. This is what, you know, I was more of a... That's what he meant. This is what guys do.
I'm still interpreting it this way, that all men cheat because they're scorpions.
Yeah, that is the original. But I was more so... The point of my story was, you know, people like that. Like, right. It is what it is. Like, this guy is like that. You meet some people who are like that. And it's if it's in their nature, if that's what they're on, that's what you're just... It's not you, basically. You know what I'm saying?
Oh.
Like, it's not you. Like, this person is just... out here seeking validation, like needing to, you know, get, you know, just attention from every, you know what I mean? Those people who exist out there, and then you get in their path, and then you just become, you know, you just become a casualty.
And you can be as perfect as can be, but in some people it's just in their nature.
Exactly.
I get it.
Yeah. So it wasn't just for men, it was for women too. It was like, yo, in that moment you have to learn, because a lot of times we like personalize it. And beat ourselves up, you know, oh, he didn't like me, she didn't, what did I do, da da da. It's like, nah, it's not even about you, though, half the time, you know?
I agree.
So that's what I meant.
Okay, there you go.
Got it, Rob?
Clarify, now I got it. I thought we had beef. But it's funny because you actually broached the subject again, I feel like, on the EP on Just a Man.
Yeah.
And it's you talking to another woman.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you loved him once, I loved him twice. But at the end of the day, he as a man, he's just going to do what he's going to do. And if he cheated on you, he's probably going to cheat on me, too. And explain that one a little bit, because I don't want to mess this one up.
No, you got to hit on the... See, the distorted fairy tales was really an examination of me coming out of a situation and, like, just this is what I was learning. This is what was coming at me at the time. And so Just a Man was, like, I was in the shower, actually, and I was like, yo, you know... all the beef that I have out there in the world, like with people, like the people that exist out world who are like, I don't F with her. I don't. Can I swear on the show?
You can swear on the show. Okay. I don't fuck with you. Let's get it out.
I don't fuck with her. I realized with like all like women who there was a guy attached to the situation. They've never met me before. They don't know me from Adam, but they like hate my guts because of we are have this thing with this person, you know, the same person. So that was really just like, I'm looking at like, yo, a lot of these women are like beautiful, like amazing person. You know, men usually attract the same type of, you know, spirit. So I'm like, I actually probably would be friends with this girl in like real life, you know, if this didn't go down. So it got, I got the idea to like have a conversation with what would I say to this person that I see that I'm like, yo, we're not actually enemies. Like this person is the one that's
playing
us both and like giving us both like what we want to hear, you know what I'm saying? And now we're coming at each other because we don't want to just, we don't want to let this thing go. We don't want to let this, whatever, this relationship, this what we feel for this person. So it's easier for me to attack this person, you know what I mean? So it was just laying all that out, you know, like.
This dude sounds like a real asshole. What's his name?
That's what I wanted to ask you. Is this based on a real life scenario?
It's more than one. It's not even just one person.
Damn.
Yo.
We're just going to call him Roger. Yeah.
It's not even just, it's everyone's story. I feel like most, we've all been there. Like, where you're looking up like, why don't I like this girl?
And
like,
half the time you don't even know, you know?
Yeah.
It's so shady that sometimes you have no idea and then, you know, if somebody ever says like, oh yeah, this girl don't like you, you know, and it's like, what?
Like,
and then you find out that, you know, the guy that you are dating is not even being faithful and there's more than one. Yeah,
exactly.
That story. I mean, with girl, you know, girls do the same thing too.
Yeah.
So I'm sure men have felt that way too. I'm sure men have felt dumb, but they don't care as much, you know, so.
We're all full of shit. That's what I've been saying. That's been the theme of like the last 2 weeks. It's like, the shit that you're mad about somebody doing, you probably done it too. Like, we've all done it. It's like, I don't know. I'm just trying to.
You said that you were in the shower when you did you write that song in the shower or did you just come up with the?
I actually wrote the first like the first lines of the verse. No, babe, no, we're not enemies. You just falling for a man, the man whose heart belongs to me. So that came. That was and then I took it to the studio and finished it.
Shout out to Polly, because we didn't even have to ask her to sing.
But no, I asked the question. It sounds weird, right? Like what she was doing in the shower, but. I hear a lot of musicians actually come up with lyrics in the shower that they say that it's something about the running water.
It's like a meditative, it's like a meditative space, I guess, in a way. Like I smoke too.
Mm-hmm.
So like I usually smoke before I take a shower and it just like puts me in a zone of, I don't know what it is really. It's just like like you said, the running water, like it's just a meditative trance you're in and your mind just zones out and I don't know.
Plus, you don't have much else to do or look at in the shower, so.
clean your ass?
I mean, yeah, but like, men take like 5 minute showers. Females take like, listen, I could take 30 minutes to an hour in the shower.
Me too.
Even if I'm like watering the lawn sometimes, like I get up in the morning sometimes and, you know, and I sit there and it's like, it leaves you nothing else to do but to think.
Yeah.
And kind of like, I, you know, as an actor, like I start creating like little scenes in my head and stuff. So I'm sure as like, you know, a songwriter, singer, you start thinking of lyrics and moments and stories. Yeah.
That's dope. I just know that's a thing. Like, you know, we speak to a lot of musicians and I find that comes up every so often. Like, oh, I wrote that in the shower. And I wrote that.
The inspiration comes and it's crazy how it comes.
That's great.
I'm just happy it comes.
Now, how would you describe your sound? Because I feel like, you know, it definitely ranges. I feel like there's elements of rock, like In the Name of Love.
Yeah.
You know, feels like a rock song. And then, you know, something like Nature has like a hip hop sound to it, but it's almost like that 60s sock hop. I don't even know if that's the right thing. I just know it was something before I was around.
Right.
And then I even feel like a hint and a tinge of reggae in it.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels like this just like compilation of a bunch of different sounds. Like it's hard to put you in a box.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like hybrid. Because I'm like, you know, now we can draw from so many styles. That's like the benefit of every generation. You know, you have like everything to draw from. Then the last generation, you have less stuff to draw from. You know, now we have like every era. You know, so I grew up in a Jamaican household, so my foundation is reggae. So that's why you hear like Nature, like no, 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 don't love me, and no, no, no. So you know, that's, it's rooted, I would say, in like R&B and reggae. Those are the like biggest influences. But I don't know, like, I love, like, I always like to fuck people's heads up. I'm like Billie Holiday and Wu-Tang Clan, like Love Child, like,
I like that.
Like, super just mix. Yeah, because in a way, like, it kind of is that. Like, I said that one time just joking, but then I was like, in a way, though, it low, because I love, like, dirty, like, beats. I love, like, dirty shit and, like, grimy shit, but then I love, like, dark, like, kind of sometimes sad, kind of like the Billie Holiday. I don't know. It just, it is everything. It's, you know, it's like everything.
Yeah, because even some of your beats, even though they sound like they have a bit of a rock feel to them, your vocals, and I feel like your sound is so deep and almost like, I was listening to, I forgot which one of the songs exactly, but reminded me of kind of like an Amy Winehouse, Love is a Losing Game.
Oh, shit,
how she
really
gets really like, you can hear like That's the pain and the cracks and like ruins in her voice. So, you know, I think, plus you sing about a lot of stuff like, you know, relationship-wise and relationships not always being so conditional.
On that project.
That's funny because Chris wasn't here before we started the show. We were sitting in the lobby, and you had mentioned how Amy Winehouse was a big influence. So for Chris to kind of pull that out, like, she wasn't here to hear you say that.
That's why I said that's like the biggest compliment I've ever received.
Aww, well,
like,
you deserve it. So
thank you.
Your voice is dope.
Thank you.
I want to get into your business a little bit since we talked about Amy Winehouse. I was on your Twitter and Instagram the other day stalking.
creeping.
It's and okay. I saw you with the homie, you know, a friend to the room, Mr. Salam Remy.
Yep.
And I'm like, what are these two cooking up?
It's got to be something good because Salam is
the truth. Salam, I'm signed to Salam actually as a writer. I'm signed to his publishing company, his imprint at Sony. So he and I, that's how we are connected.
Which one is it? Because he has so many. Is it Flying Buddha? I know it's Remy Fa.
It's Boom Tunes.
Boom Tunes. Okay. So yeah. He has so many different. Like, he spreads
getting
them out
in so many ways.
Yeah. But no, I was saying earlier that it's because of Back to Black, that album that I like the rest of the world, was obsessed with. And that I didn't really like study producers before that. Like, I never really looked like who produced this, but that album, I was like, who? I wanted to know. And so around that time, a lot of people were like, who would you want to work with? Like, who's your favorite producer? And I would always mention Salam Remy. So then like I mentioned it to a couple of people and they were like, yo, I know him. I can link you guys. And then we sort of connected online though. He like started following me on, or he added me as a friend on Facebook, and I'm like, oh my gosh.
The power of social media.
Exactly. I was saying earlier, like, you can put stuff out there, and then social media likes to come back like twice as fast as it did, in, you know, back in the day. But yeah, it was just one of those organic things. Like, we literally connected on social media. Like, I tweeted something and he like responded, and I'm like, yo, when are we gonna link? So then we happened to be in LA at the same time and linked, and it was like, from jump, we were just like, you know, just connected.
Do you have a weird story about the first time you met? Because Rico Love came on the show and was just like, man, the first time I met Salam Remy was the same thing. He was like, yo, I looked up to him. He had this and that, and I went to go meet him in the studio, and he gave me a copy of Marvin Gaye, Hear My Dear, and sent me back home. We didn't even work. He just made me listen.
And he said he took like a 3-hour drive. He got to the studio, and that's all that happened.
Oh, I love that story. Hear My Dear. That's
So I was wondering if you had a funny Salam story about the first time you met. Does he just do this to people? I don't. Maybe it was just Rico that he was like, you know what? You need to listen to Marvin Gaye and take your ass home.
He didn't do that. We actually discovered that we both have the like sickest sense of humor, and we could like expose it to each other like within like 5 minutes. So that was like our bond. I could tell you it's probably too much for the. It's anyway.
It's never too much.
I don't even know how we got on this conversation.
I'm afraid of her face right now.
Yeah, right.
I'm not even gonna lie. Like, I seen her face, I was like, it might be too much.
No. It's not. I mean, I don't think so. It's like, I don't even. You see, he has a very sick sense of humor, and I don't know how we started talking about, but he has this thing where he's like, back shots make boys. Like.
Facts. This is scientifically proven, by the way.
He's like, how do you get a boy? Back shots make boys. And I'm like, how do you make girls? He's like, I forgot what he even said, but we just, from that conversation, it just was all bad.
First of all, that sounds like a song.
Right? It does.
90% of what comes out of Salam Remy's mouth, because it's a song. Mm. Like, no lie.
Backshots. Who can rewrite a song? Come on, Polly. Wait, come on. We working now. Like,
Drake. He's taking songs. I heard he's taking songs.
Whoa.
No shade. I'm just playing. I love you, Drake. I love you.
Nah, but
I love you, Drake.
If you write the hook.
Right.
That's right. That's all. That's it.
Backshots make boys. That's all right. I'm gonna keep thinking about that one though.
Yeah, I'm thinking too.
Speaking of
Drake is gonna like fucking ruin all chances of Drake. Yeah. I love you, Drake.
Trizzy.
Dude.
But you have worked with rappers. You worked with J. Cole, right?
I did. Yeah.
On Crooked Smile.
Yeah,
So and this is a topic of conversation because I feel like ever since the Drake and Meek Mill thing, everybody on Twitter thinks there's an expert at reading album credits now.
Mm-hmm. Like, of course.
Did I tell you about, I had somebody hit me and Jay-Z uses Ghost Rider. Look at H to the Izzo, K West, S Carter, and B Gordy. B Gordy wrote for Jay-Z. I'm like, no, that's Berry Gordy, and he owns the original Jackson 5 sample that Jay-Z, like, everybody's an expert.
People swear.
But your name did appear on J. Cole's Crooked Smile, which is one of my favorite J. Cole songs. So you wrote the hook.
Yeah, I wrote the hook. Okay. I wrote the hook.
That's how does that happen? Can you talk about the process?
That was really like I said, putting shit out in the universe. That was another prime example of that. Like, I was working at Premiere in the studio next door to him, and he came up on the screen. I'm like, I love J. Cole, yo. Just randomly, the intern was in the room. He's like, oh, he's actually next door. And I was like, oh, shit. I was like, yo, universe, like, have him come out at the same time that I'm coming out, and then I'll have a conversation, and then I'm going to be on the next J. Cole single. I literally said that shit to the producer and to the intern. So we're leaving the session, and he comes out. And I'm like, yo, Jade, what's up? Like, yo, like, you need a singer, da da da. He's like, yo, you sing? I'm like, yeah, da da da. So he like went to the bathroom, came back, listened to Nature, actually. I played him Nature. Mm. He's like, yo, this is dope. Who wrote it? I'm like, I did. He's like, I'm working on this song right now. Like, we've tried a couple different hooks, nothing's sticking. Like, well, you know, can you work on it? I'm like, yeah. He's like, when? I'm like, right now. Like, what better time than right now? So he literally starts playing, you know, the song. He already had the verses and everything. And then, like, no lie, as soon as the hook came, I that's the first melody that I came up with, like, in on the spot. I was like, I'm on my way around. And he's like, yo, like, lay that down, da 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 da. So then, like, we just wrote the lyrics out, like, half hour, and then, like, a half an hour. And that was it.
That is,
I'm amazed.
Insane. See, I didn't expect that.
Right.
Because that song got so many awards and won so many.
Yeah.
But I didn't expect, see, you just kind of like coincidentally, and you made it happen.
Yeah, it was literally, and it was funny because I think he and I were just both on the same wavelength, because that was pretty much like what we talked about all that night in the studio. He's like, I've been on this thing of like being open and the power of yes and like all of these things, you know, manifesting. And he's like, normally, because he's like, I hear that all the time. Like, people always say they sing and that they're dope, and they're usually whack. He's like, nah, I thought you was going to be whack. No offense, but I thought you was going to be whack. And he was like, but something told me, like, to just be open. And that's the only reason why I listen to you. And then I got my hook out of it, you know. So he was just like, yo, this is just crazy how the universe works like that.
She's special. Okay, so
Drake would be silly not to work with you. I'm just saying.
Whatever. We got more important matters right now. I would love for Beyonce to be a guest on this Red Light Special podcast. So with your powers of saying yes and putting it in, I was in the studio with her a couple of weeks ago.
What happened?
True story.
Mm-hmm. You didn't?
Nah.
Oh, man.
But
you got stuck.
See, that's it, though. You put it out there, and then you seize the opportunity. Yeah. You seize the moment. You realize we're all just humans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's the power of yes. She might have been on that. Yeah, power of yes. Why not?
Chris, I messed it up.
It's, you know.
I messed it up. Now Beyonce's never coming to this.
Hey, now you're putting that out.
Sway says she's coming, so I believe she
is. Crooked Smile, though, I'm going to tell you why it's one of my favorite songs. I actually told the story to Cole. I've known Cole for a bunch of years.
Cool dude, right?
Yeah, man.
So
back,
dope.
Back from my XXL days, you know, we helped get him on the freshman cover and do all that since back then. First of all, Born Sinner is my favorite Cole album.
Yeah.
the new one, Forest Hills Drive, is dope. But I'm like, it's dope, but there ain't no Born Sinner. And I'm like the only one because everybody loves this new album. I'm like, Born Sinner.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
I love it, but Born Sinner is definitely better.
But my son, okay, I have a son and he had just learned to ride a bike the summer that song came out. And he was riding around and we were like at a hill, not too steep. And I was like, yeah, man, ride down the hill. You'll be fine. And he fell off the, and I'm at the top of the hill and he's wobbling. And I saw that he was going to fall and there was nothing I could do about it. He fell, chipped his two front teeth. Like,
oh, wow.
Yeah, man. So he's all, and they're his adult teeth at this house. So he has a crooked smile.
Oh.
And you know, I felt bad. I felt horrible. We'll get it fixed when he gets older. Right now, it's cute. He's still at the age where it's cute. But, you know, I think hearing that song on the radio kind of helped. It'd be okay. Like, I mean, here goes Cole. Like, you know, this guy has platinum plaques. He's a big star, and he's saying, yo, it's cool.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe we never get his teeth fixed. You know what I'm saying? But it definitely was, like, a way to cope, you know what I'm saying, with that.
Because so
I felt
cool.
guilty, because I was like, I'm the one who let him go down that hill. I fucked up, and I'm the reason. But shout out to J. Cole.
Shout out to J. Cole.
And shout to Pauly-A for, because the hook might have been way different.
Yeah.
I actually never heard the other versions. I should have asked him after to play him.
Nah.
He was like, they did like three. And I was like, oh. Well,
and nothing was sticking, he said.
Nothing was sticking.
Until you came in the room.
I'm like, that. Then, here I am. Here I am, J. Cole. I'm here for you.
Who else have you written for?
Alicia Keys.
Yeah.
Actually, shout out to Salam Remy again. I just got a cut on Jordan Sparks' album that's coming out.
Okay.
So, Selena Gomez, Kat Dahlia. Shout out to Kat Dahlia.
Kat is dope.
Kat is super dope. One of my really good friends. And, you know, random stuff like Ricky Martin. I don't know.
What?
Yeah.
Random. I mean, that's random, but damn, Ricky Martin.
I know. And he, like, performed it at, like, the Victoria's Secret runway show one year.
Wow.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I was super hyped. I was like, I can't believe this. It was just, like,
I gotta look it up.
It was a very big moment for me. I'm like, it's Ricky Martin. It's like, shake your bonbon. Right.
Yeah.
I know you did Love Is My Disease with Alicia Keys.
Yeah.
What was that like working with? Because did you get to work with her?
I didn't get to work with her, unfortunately. No, because that song was already, it was already a written song that I was actually putting out. But I ended up giving it to her. But yeah, I didn't, unfortunately, get to work with her.
Okay, no, that's dope though.
Yeah, but it was dope to be a part of that.
And Selena, you know what? Ricky Martin, I didn't see coming either. Ricky Martin, maybe I didn't expect to come out of your mouth. But Selena Gomez, like,
yeah.
Wizards of Waverly Place? Like, that was you?
That was
Wizards of Waverly Place, the show she was on.
The show she was on.
Oh.
Sorry.
No, I was
like, I don't know what you're talking about.
I work at MTV. I have to know this stuff.
Yeah, that was really like, there was a period where I was just songwriting primarily. Like, this business is very, very up and down and. It's a roller coaster. So anyway, like I was frustrated with the business because of, I don't even want to go into it really.
Positive
I mean, unless
energy.
You want me to.
Nah.
It was really just, I was very disenchanted. I was in a space of like, you know, fuck this. I don't even know if I want to do the artist thing. Like, it was crazy. Like the Alicia Keys things was like bittersweet. It was like so dope because it was such a huge big artist wanting a song, but that song, like I got a deal, like, and then they took the deal away from me because in the same building, another A&R heard that song and wanted it for Alicia, so the deal went sour.
Because you couldn't use it as an artist, so.
Yeah, it was like they were in an A&R meeting, like, this is going to be the next song for Alicia Keys, and then, like, the other A&R was like, I'm actually signing her for that song, so then it just went away. It was just one of those.
So they didn't believe
bad.
That you could make another song?
And that was probably the blessing in disguise, because it's like, if you don't believe in beyond a song, but a lot of times with like, it can be about a song, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, a deal can hinge on a song, and that was what it was at the time. So I, after that experience or whatever, like, I was like, fuck this, I don't want to do like the artist thing anymore, I'm gonna just write songs, I'm just like, be out here and just get my bread up as a songwriter.
Right.
So I was like doing sessions or whatever, and I did that song with Toby Gad. Shout out to Toby Gad and Priscilla Renee, and we just wrote a random song that Selena Gomez ended up cutting.
Dope.
Yeah.
Very dope.
So yeah.
How do you balance now? Because you're obviously doing your artist thing now and doing very well for yourself. Between the songwriting and for others and your own artistry, is it a, what's the dance like?
It's like a really, because we're in a really like weird space, I think, business wise. So like a lot of people ran after that songwriter thing because there was a lot of like something you can get out of it. You know what I mean? Like, not that it's all about money, but obviously you have to make a living. And there was a time that you could make a decent living, like just writing songs, even if they weren't like number one smashes, like just getting placements, you could still stay afloat. And I think like, because there's less radio, there's less ways for the songwriter to make money just writing the song, you know? So unless you have like a number one hit. So now, like, I don't, I don't know. I think I write songs, and if it's a song that, I write songs for myself, really, only now.
You write all your songs?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't necessarily, unless the artist is in the room, like with Kat, I collaborated with her a lot. She was there. We did it together. But I don't necessarily, like, oh, I'm going to go in the studio and write a song for Taylor Swift. And I try to pitch it to her. Like, some people still do that, but it's not a
maybe
very...
Taylor, maybe we make an exception for
no,
Taylor.
No, no, no. But the thing about it is, like, it's not that I would want to do this cut all day. Please, universe, like, give me a Taylor Swift cut. No lie. But it's like, I learned that there's a lot of politics that people don't understand that go behind, especially when it's like a big artist like that, that you kind of have to be in that circle of what's happening and making it happen. It's very rare that you're like, I'm going to pitch this song and they're going to pick it, you know, because there's just too much money involved. And like, you're some random person. Like, it's usually the person who's like signed to the producer, who's signed to the, you know what I mean? There's a political thing. And I learn more. Like, you just learn. So now, I mean, I just love making music, and I just felt like making it for anything other than like just the purity of what you want to create in that moment, and like for yourself, what you love, it's never going to resonate anyway. So I just kind of went back to the root of why I even started. It was just like having fun. I don't really chase anything like that. You know what I mean? Like, even with the Jordan thing, like I was writing a song that I loved, and then Salam was like, oh, we want to put that on Jordan. You know what I mean? It wasn't like, let me write for Jordan Sparks. It was like, I'm just going to write something dope. And, oh, okay, y'all want it? Okay, cool. You know what I mean?
All right, that's dope. Real quick, I just want to shout out Taylor Swift. Can you please tell your fans? Can you call them off? It was just a joke, Taylor. I was just joking around. Now her fans are up and down my timeline.
Oh, I
what?
So you posted.
Oh.
Taylor, over the weekend performed. I'm a big Fetty Wap fan. Like,
okay.
I love Fetty. And so she performed with Fetty in Seattle. She brought Fetty out on her show.
She's so funny.
So there was a picture of her and Fetty. So I posted the picture and I put Fetty in a fan. does she have, what's the name of her fan on it? You know, like, it's the Swifties, right?
They're
called the Swifties. I work at MTV. I have to know this stuff. And they killed me.
No.
I was like, it was a joke, guys. I'm like, I'm cool with anybody who puts Kendrick Lamar on the radio 1,000 times a day.
I saw you post that, and then I saw you also writing back to people like, relax, I know who Taylor Swift is. Like, people took that very seriously.
Yeah, people took it mad, like, that fan sold 60,000 tickets and sold out the arena. Duh.
Shout out to Taylor Swift fans.
Oh, they go hard.
Wow.
She's got an army.
Nah, that's cool. Nah, that's what's up. What's next for you now? Because I feel like, you know, the EP came out in December.
Yeah.
And you don't look like you sit still very long.
No.
What we got covered up next?
Well, you know what it is? Like, I have a studio at the crib, which is, like, the greatest thing in the world. I remember being at Big Sean's listening party, and he was like, this is the first time I've ever had that. And you can tell, like, you can see it in his, I mean, I feel like this record, this album, Big Sean, it's like a new, like a new person. And I'm like, who is this person? And so when he said that, I was like, oh, it makes sense. Because I firsthand know what that's like to just be able to, like, there's no time constraint. There's just total freedom. You could be 4 a.m, like, yo, I have this idea. You could be 2, you know what I mean? It doesn't matter. So yeah, I'm really like always trying to be like 2 projects ahead, you know? Wow. So Disorder Fairy Tales was even, you know, I already had a project pretty much almost done by the time I put that out.
Mm-hmm.
So, which brings me to Ghetto Gold Dream, which is what I'm putting out next.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully dropping something in September, the first, you know, song for it.
What's the title of it?
It's called Ghetto Gold Dream.
Okay.
Is the name of the project.
How'd you come up with that name?
The single is entitled Ghetto Gold Dream. It's a really, it's a song that was inspired. I don't even, it's like such a crazy story. I was in the studio with Cinematic and I was just like, you know, in a space of just feeling like everybody has something to say about you when, you know, they don't really know your grind. They don't know your struggle. They don't know what you're on. So from that, it just spawned. The Ghetto Gold Dream just came out, like, and to me, it meant just like, I'm living, I'm doing what I want from what I, from what I was given, and I'm making the most of it.
Right.
So I don't even know where that's one of those, another, like, it just like the inspiration struck, like Ghetto Gold Dream. I don't even know where it came from, but that's what I was feeling. And that's the phrase that came out at the time. And yeah, it ended up, so we're using it for the title, for the EP.
That sounds
title
dope.
As well. Yeah.
Oh. And Backshots Make Boys. It's like sometimes you just want to
make Ghetto Gold Dreams and Backshots Make Boys.
Somebody's going to make that into a song. Somebody's going to hear that.
That's already copyrighted. Yeah, if you use that, I'm going to need some publishing.
Y'all can't do that. Let me tell you, like, Polly don't play.
Salam don't play.
He's Jamaican too, right?
He's actually not. His dad is from Barbados.
He's Bayesian?
No, but he's
West Indian, and West Indians
he's
don't play.
He's gonna kill me for not me. Knowing yeah, what yeah, yeah, which West Indian, sure. But he sounds like a Jamaican. So right. People like he can speak Patois like way better right. than me. It's
West Indians don't play. I wouldn't, bro.
Yeah,
don't play yourself.
Don't do it.
Yeah, I wouldn't. But I wanted to ask you. You have a lyric that really hit me when I heard it. You said, "What happened to your heart? I think it's made of stone. You're clumsy with my love." And you also say, don't want to give my heart again. It's just no fun. So now I know this is from years ago, but is this something that you kind of have instilled in your mind?
Fucking
like
Roger.
Or is this something you've got in past? Like, what is your feeling on just love in general? Like, how does Polly A feel about it?
That was definitely a moment.
Okay.
That was like, because the thing about my songs, a lot of the time, if not all of the time, they're written in a very fresh wound. Mm. So that literally was a situation that happened like 2 days before that I went to this party, like that story that is in the song. I went to this party and that happened. I saw this dude that I was dealing with and he was like, you know, when you know it's like a rap, like mm-hmm. this person is all of a sudden like completely different towards you and you're like, oh shit, like this is real life, like this is really happening. So in that moment, that's really how I felt. It was like, I can't do this anymore. Like, I can't keep, my heart is just, I'm a Taurus, like my ruling planet is Venus, like I'm just, I'm too sensitive for this shit. So that is how I felt that moment, but I don't feel that way now. Like, actually Polly A kind of came out of that. It's like, you get, just like this Rumi quote, it's like, you break your heart open so you can like let the light in, so to speak. It's like mm-hmm. you have to get your heart broken in order for you to really understand what love is anyway.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of like the evolution of what Polly A is. It's like learning that there's love in all different types of ways. And it's not just about seeking a romantic love. Like even when you don't have that, there's love all around you in different ways that you can tap into. And it's from those experiences where I was able to like grow from that and like evolve into this new space of like, okay, love yourself, love your friends, love your family, just love, and then love will come to you and how it's supposed to come to you. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And that's kind of like where I'm at with it now.
Love yours, J. Cole. Yeah, did you write that too?
I wish.
I do feel like you have to keep an open heart, though. I definitely agree.
You got to.
Not to let anybody just in, you know, but definitely keeping an open heart. I think, you know, you can't always have that wall up. You can't always have that guard up. And you can't always be so afraid to give, you know?
Yeah, you can't.
Yeah, Chris. I'm just messing with you. Oh my gosh, you shot me the evilest stare.
I give the best advice that I don't take myself.
Don't we all?
You talk, you know, the way you kind of describe that kind of sounds like a superpower, though. You know what I'm saying? Like to break your heart open and let it in and love everything around you. And I want to go back to a tweet that you wrote, was interesting. Yep.
Oh no, Twitter is public.
Twitter is public. I told you I've been stalking
forgetting.
You. I've been stalking you.
Put it on private.
She says, my superpowers." My superpowers would be time travel, the ability to understand all languages, including animals, and an invisibility cloak. What about you? Choose three. So I'm a big comic book geek. Why'd you choose those superpowers?
Time travel, because I would love to go to the future and just go back. I can't even say this. I have a joke that I don't think it's appropriate because it's...
Back shots make boys.
There's just so many people from the past, you just want to go back and smack the shit out of them.
Oh, that's totally appropriate. There's everything appropriate.
I was just
going to
get more specific, and I won't, but that was really what
Roger.
It's like a lot of people, we'll just from different Roger. Eras, though. Like, you could just, like, show up in a room and just smack the shit out of Hitler
and just go back to the future.
Just go back to the future, like smack the shit out of, like,
that's actually really funny. I thought you meant like relive things and relive experiences and do things differently. She just wants to go back and smack someone
the shit,
real
like,
quick.
You know, and as yourself though.
Right.
They don't know. You're like this person from the future. You're looking like yourself and this person's like, who the f-? And then he just smacks the shit out of you and then just disappears. You're just like, that was amazing.
I like that.
So that was why, yeah, that was one of the, and just to go to the future, this just would be amazing, just do that. And then like,
Understanding languages
for the similar reason, you know, you can go anywhere and they can understand why you're smacking the shit out of them or not. You can explain to the room. I don't know, just to be able to, that would just be ill.
I don't know, I think getting the shit smacked out of you is like universal language, yeah.
That is, yeah, I didn't expect that. I would want to understand Chinese people so I can understand what the girls are always saying when I get my nails done.
Right? Because you know they're talking shit.
Hell yeah. You know they don't even look at you, but they just talk so damn fast. And it's like, it sounds so angry. And you're like, did I do
something
wrong?
Do look at you and laugh. Yeah. And you're bruh. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
And then we have the invisibility cloak, right?
Invisibility cloak, yeah. So, yeah. So you can, it all pertains to traveling, time travel. So then you can go in certain places and not be seen.
You could smack them, they won't see you coming.
Yeah, like, or you could stay longer, you know, you could like smack them and then, yeah, and then like disappear. And just see how you just turned it up. Like, what the fuck was that?
That's funny. I'm seeing like this whole comic thing going on in my head right now.
That's bugged out. That's super bugged out. Chris, what would your superpowers be?
Wait, there's a stipulation. You can't say taking on the powers of other powers, or you know what I mean? Because everybody kept answering that when I asked. They're like,
I want to be Wolverine.
I want to take on, you know, the person in Heroes who can like take on your power temporarily. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's like not, it's like cheating because then you have all powers.
I kind of still didn't understand that, but I'm just going to say mine anyway.
you don't speak geek. It's cool.
Yeah, I don't know. I would... Stop time.
Stop time.
Because I'm always late. For leisurely stuff, you know, when it's something like, you know, my acting classes and all that. I actually showed up an hour early to my acting class, but other things it's like, yeah, I'm very notorious for being the one that takes 5 hours to get ready because I just chill and relax, and then I'll do my hair, and then I'll chill and relax, and then I'll do my makeup. It's like,
okay, yeah, you're one of those.
Yeah, I'm one of those. Yeah,
like,
so
no, you can
like,
go pick me up right now. I'm ready. And then you're waiting outside for like 20
minutes. No. I don't make people
5 minutes later.
But I will be like, oh, I'm coming to you in 5 minutes, and then 20 minutes later, you're like, Chris, where are you at?
You're one of those.
I would definitely stop time. That's crazy. I don't really know.
You clearly haven't thought about this.
Not really.
Like,
I know you probably have like 10, Rob, because you're this little comic book geek.
I just want one. I want to have speed, super speed. Mm. Which I guess relates to time, right?
Like, so you could just slap someone and then super speed.
Yeah,
out of there.
just get out of there. because I always feel like there's never enough time in the day. So if I was like the Flash or something like that, it's like, man, I could go grocery shopping, I could get the car washed, I could do it. And then I could just chill and play PlayStation.
That's a good one.
You know what I'm saying? So that's probably my one. That's the top one.
That reminds me of, what's that movie with Eddie Murphy where they're watching all the kids, like the daddy daycare kind of thing? Is it daddy daycare?
No, I don't know. I stopped watching
it. There's that kid that wears the Flash uniform and he just speeds everywhere.
Yeah. There you go.
It is? Yeah, I know somebody's seen it. It's a great movie, actually.
I know Dr. Doolittle.
Shout out to Rick Bediment. Yeah. He's seen every corny movie.
Eddie Murphy movie.
He's laughing. He knows what I mean. It's a really funny movie if you haven't seen it.
That's what's up. Chris, you want to try? I think Polly would be great for this. Every week we do a relationship advice segment because our poor listeners, man. We never get like...
Hey, they're not poor listeners.
Yo, they always going through something. Yo, if somebody's in love, 1 week we'll do where you don't even need advice, where somebody's just going to write us and tell us how much in love they are. Please do that.
But then they don't need help. It's like, you know,
I just want to know that y'all okay out there, because shit is all
you know
bad.
What I love though, that they write us a lot, and it's like, I've heard these stories so many times. Right. It's just people are too afraid to speak on them. Usually people go to psychologists, you know, and speak about these things. Yeah. And it's like, I think it's pretty cool that we have an email where, you know, they write to us, whether it be anonymously or, you know, sometimes their email will kind of give it away, but we don't ever mention it on the show. And they tell us these things that half of us have been through, or we know somebody that's been through it, and it's relatable, you know? So they ask us, I want to get into one that I actually got, I think it's really interesting. Okay, so this girl wrote us and said, hey guys, so I'm having a big, big, big dilemma. I'm 4 months pregnant and I live with my boyfriend at the time. But lately we've been having a lot of issues. He sells weed, and I don't know if it's the pregnancy kicking in, but I want him to stop. I'm scared that eventually it'll become a risk for us as a family. We've definitely talked about engagement, but I don't want to go any further until we resolve this issue first. What do I do?
Oof. Eesh. Well, I mean, where she live? What state?
Moving to Colorado.
Things might change real quick. You right? know, be done. You know, just wait. Hold up a little. Hold up a minute.
They are legalizing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a very lucrative business, possibly.
Right.
Pregnancy wise.
I don't know. I'm not the one to ask, because I am. I smoke, so
I'll go in on it.
I mean, so how do you feel? I mean, if somebody. You know what I mean? If you were with somebody that they wanted you to stop, what would be your take on that?
Stop smoking.
Mm-hmm. If the relationship...
Why would they want me to do that?
She's at her best. Did you hear? She smokes weed, takes a shower, and writes hit songs. That's her superpower
that
in real life.
Like the dream life.
I mean, yeah, I don't really believe in like the whole like asking somebody to like change, like if you met them like that, though. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I don't know. I just feel like you do that, and then where does it end? Like, I don't, like, where do we draw the line? You know what I mean?
Yeah. And then I think also, I mean, if she makes him, if that's like his thing, you know, he's a smoker. First of all, you're 4 months pregnant.
Well, he sells it. Is he smoking it, or is he selling it?
Oh, yeah. No, she said he's
selling it.
That he sells it.
I mean, but what? I don't know.
First,
like,
I don't
what
know anybody that sells and doesn't smoke.
I'm going to tell you something, bro. maybe this is just bad advice, but first of all, you might have to step your game up, because them formulas, them diapers, they get expensive. I don't know if just selling weed is gonna cut it, man.
Like, you might have to,
unless you're like the only and biggest drug dealer in that area.
Yeah, man, you must have had to eliminate all competition, or you might have to, you know, sell something with a higher.
I mean, if you're selling like dimes, yeah, but there's some people, you know, what I'm saying, who are chilling. Right. I know. Right. I mean, I don't want to
sell. Yeah, I don't know. Nah, you know. Yeah, listen.
In California.
Don't say Roger. Yeah. Nah, man. Honestly, though, it's on her. Listen, you knew that you got pregnant by a dude and what his profession was. Maybe you didn't plan the pregnancy, but, you know, if that's not the way you want to raise your family or raise your kid, you know, you got to discuss that with him. And if you don't want to be with him because of that, you know, that's something that you have to consider too. But I don't think that's a long-term solution to raise a family anyway. So,
yeah.
You know, if you're expecting, and you guys are still in a relationship and you're expecting a kid together, y'all got to really talk about what the long-term goals are, you know. Or, you know, you might not be with him. And if he still wants to sell weed, that's his business. And you got to do what you got to do.
I wonder if it's the only thing that he does. Because some people do that as a side thing.
Yeah.
You know? So,
and I wonder is he putting the family in some type of danger in terms of, like, you know, police and getting arrested and all those things. Like, that also plays into it, too. It just kind of depends on where he is on the totem pole. Yeah,
and keeping it at the house also.
Exactly.
Growing up, I witnessed a lot of fucked up shit happen. And one of my friends, who I don't keep in contact with anymore, but he was selling weed. And even though he wasn't doing it on like this grand level, you know, things happen and people, you know, they knew where he kept his stuff and, you know, where he had a lot of money and stuff. And they ran in his house and, like, nephews were home and family was home. And it's, you know, like, things like that happen. And it's like, God forbid anybody gets hurt in that kind of situation. I do think that is a kind of risk that she's kind of speaking about, like, as a family. And I do agree with that. But I feel like it's a little bit too late to ask somebody to change their ways. You know, you're 4 months pregnant. You guys are expecting. You guys are already spoken about engagement. And now you want to ask somebody to all of a sudden stop doing what they've been doing since probably you met them. I mean, if he has something else to fall back on and it's going to support the family, then, yeah, you know, maybe you guys should talk about it and stuff. But if it's his only thing, it's kind of like, I think it's already just a little bit too late, you know? Mm-hmm. And then he's going to be unhappy because if that's, like, his means and you take it away from him, it's like, as a man, what else does he have? You know?
Yeah.
We have a lot. Yeah.
The conversation
that's
has to
money.
Be about
you
how
take
we
away
gonna,
a man's money. You take away a lot.
The conversation has to be about how we're going to flip this into something else, though. Like, transitioning out of this instead of you need to stop. It should be about coming together and coming up with an idea of how to...
You watch Power?
Everybody keeps asking me if I watch Power.
You don't watch Power?
No, I'm going to start tonight.
You got to start. Listen, jeez, man.
That's a lot of favorite show.
Yeah. Be Ghost. You know, that's how we, man. Up your, Ghost and Tasha got to figure it out. She was like, I'm not going to give it away. It's a gangsta-ass couple, boy. Like Rick. Nah, he was like, he seen that one, too. He's like, man, I seen the Eddie Murphy movie. I watch Power. I'm diverse in my taste. Nah, that was cool. Listen, man, but whoever's in love out there, man, please just, we'll read to next week. I just want to know that y'all all right, please.
Send us an email if you have absolutely any questions, if you need advice, if you even just want to talk. I mean, we've had, thankfully, you know, listeners that they showed up to the Apple event and then they still wrote us and they give us like little suggestions and they, you know, they tell us, you know, things and we always interact, you know, me and Rob, we always talk back to you guys. So our email is redlightspecialpc@gmail.com and our Twitter is @RLSpodcast if you ever want to talk to us.
That's what's up. Polly, what you listening to right now?
What am I listening to right now? Man.
That new Drake.
I do like that song.
She walked in here singing.
Gabe put me onto that song.
Hotline Bling.
Shout out to Gabe Lamberth.
Peace,
super
Gabe. What's
producer.
Gabe, songwriter. How we doing?
I know on the Hotline Bling. I like that. And then I was at Everyday People this past weekend. They were playing that. And I was like, that shit is a dope joint.
It's catchy too.
Yeah,
very catchy.
That's a good one, Drake. You know how to write them and pick them, and however you're doing it, I support it. I'm here for it all, Drake. Just want to make that very clear. Very clear.
I've said enough on this subject over the past week.
I did want to know one thing because you know we did mention kind of like the whole Amy Winehouse feel and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then, who else inspires you musically? Like who, if you had to name maybe like three top artists that you just absolutely love and get inspiration from, who are they?
I would say as a songwriter, like I would say Fiona Apple, Frank Ocean. Mm. I love Sade. So, I mean, and like Bob Marley, I would say that probably those four, but then as far as vocally, Michael Jackson, like Mariah Carey are like my two like teachers, like go to for inspiration. But I don't know, it's all over the place. But I would say those as a songwriter, those three.
Very dope artists.
That's dope.
Sade. Love Sade.
Shout
out Frank Ocean too whenever that album dropped. I see people was real mad because he said he's gonna drop an album in July.
Yeah, I do feel like as an artist, if you do say, you know, hey, I'm dropping a new album in July, you know, I mean, it's August, like at least mid-August maybe, but...
I seen everybody that was complaining, all right?
Those were some
I don't know about complaints, but I do feel like, damn, I want a new Frank Ocean album.
Everybody was complaining.
I'm going to talk to your boss. How many times were you late for work this week and you want to complain about Frank Ocean not dropping an album?
They changed his Wikipedia. To like liar. Like,
no, wait, yeah. But that's why you can't trust Wikipedia.
They put like liar, like, and they put in his bio, like, also a habitual liar. He said he was going to drop an album and da 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 da.
Is it that serious?
That's crazy.
It was like, it was a hashtag. It was like, there was like a, it was almost, I don't know if it was trending, but a couple people.
I need to slow down. Leave Frank alone. You know when it comes out, it's gonna be good.
Yeah,
I feel regardless like everything is so good.
Regardless
that it's
of what
kind
Miguel
of like,
says, it's gonna be good.
We're just right? waiting.
Rob is like okaying it because it's Frank Ocean, and I get that. Like he's so good that it's kind of like whenever he's ready to drop it and he puts it out, you know that whether you're pissed off that it took him an extra 3 months, you're gonna be like, oh, can't wait to download and buy. And that's awesome. But I do feel like as an artist, you know, you kind of owe your fans something. You know, when you become Frank Ocean, you have sort of a commitment to your fans. They are the people who buy your music. They're the people who support you, who spread the word. You can't just go MIA. Like, he doesn't even put out interviews. He doesn't. He hasn't put up a tweet, maybe, that's been like, oh, you know, like Lil Wayne was doing the whole sorry for the wait. I don't expect all that.
Right.
But, like, something. You know what I mean? Let us know that it's, like, you're working on it or it's coming or, oh, like, let you guys know when it's ready. Like, something. He kind of just, it kind of comes off as if he doesn't care, you know?
I just wanted to be good.
I do. Of course, I feel like he comes across as just, like, he's just about that art, and it's just it's not even about us. It's just about perfecting like what he's gonna give to us, you know. I respect that. I mean, it's like Jay-Z said, it's like it's about his it's remember that one quote he was
you
like
put me to the test now go
it was like on the Breakfast Club. He's like I go at my own pace. Like he's like it's not about like when you're ready, it's about when I'm ready. Like it's about when I'm, you know, when it's time for me to share with you, you know, and I, that kind of resonated with me because it's like you can't really rush it. You can say like, oh, I'm gonna put it out now, and then you realize the night before, actually, no, this isn't right. And which would you prefer? Like,
and then you can't take it back. Then
you can't take
this
it back.
This is horrible.
You can't take it back. Once you release it, it's out there. It's that's it.
Look, Dr. Dre took 16 years to drop an album. I like the new Dr. Dre album.
I like it.
It feels weird to hear him rhyming the way he's rhyming in certain points, but
some like, people on there I haven't even heard of before. I don't even know their names, but
yeah,
I like them.
Yeah, nah, it's a solid album. But
it's a little crazy. I like it though.
And there it goes.
And there it goes.
Dr. Dre. Wait, but you don't have to wait 16 years for your next project.
No, my next project is actually complete.
You said September, so if it don't come out in September, no, I'm kidding.
You got words. No, we're shooting like a, because we're shooting a visual with the, like we're presenting it in a visual form.
Okay.
So, again, don't quote me because there's still content that we have to create.
I got to think of a headline to write to misrepresent this whole thing.
Oh,
you got to think of a hashtag too.
Can we just can we get on text next time or something?
The mystery of the universe explained with this visual project.
I'm just happy we're getting some new music.
That'll get some click. That'll get me clicking. They might be a little disappointed.
Yo, that sad girl. They clicked though. They was like, damn.
Oh my god, the girl was the most pathetic. Not that she was a pathetic girl, but. It was the most pathetic photo. She's like listening out there like, oh. No, it was like a very pathetic, like, it was just a horrible, great setup because it definitely got me mad views. The most views I've ever gotten on any video. But it was like, I never experienced like internet hate before.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh my God, it's just real out here.
I'm getting it right
Roger.
Now. I would never tweet about Taylor Swift again. I feel so bad for what I did to you. But we're here. Polly, where can they find you? What's your social media? Where can they hear their music out?
I have The Sword of Fairy Tales actually on SoundCloud. It's on iTunes if you want to support that. But if you want to listen to it on SoundCloud, I think it's soundcloud.com/IamPollyA.
Mm-hmm.
But go get it on iTunes.
Or listen to it on Spotify. Yeah, whatever. Just listen to it is really all that matters. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you can find me on like Instagram, aka Polly A, Twitter, aka Polly A. You know, hit me up.
That's
say hello.
Yeah, man. Put it in the universe if you want to, you know, put it in the universe.
Yeah,
just
put
like
it out
she
in the
did
universe. If you want to work with me, just hit me up on Twitter.
See, I didn't want to say that. Now you're going to get so many rappers.
I know. Yo, I already do.
Can you write me something like Crooked Smile?
I already do, but I love it. I actually love, I listen to everything that somebody sends me.
It's like, I don't have a crooked smile, but I'm cross-eyed and I'm going to make a song about it.
What you got for that?
Can you give me a hook?
Actually, like, put that out.
I got
somebody
wingworm.
From, like, Malaysia hit me up, a producer. Who had like no arms. He was like the illest fucking avatar photo ever. And I'm like, I have to hear this track. And it was actually really dope. So that's the internet, you know, you never know, yo. Like, I never underestimate what's out there. A lot of it is bad, but there's some good shit out there, too.
And I got this song called Bowlegged. You write a hook?
We're talking about people being dope and stuff, I want to shout out Bryson. He's been writing to us a lot on Twitter, too, and he actually sent me something through email, and it was really dope. I didn't know. He's a singer. So I found that the work that he sent me, the beats were dope, and he was ill, you know, and he's always supporting, and I believe he came to the podcast event at the Apple Store. So it's pretty cool, you know. You got to speak things into existence. That's all it is.
Especially
with the power of social media. I say it all the time, and I sound repetitive, but really, you know, half the time when I get things, it's through Twitter.
Yeah,
You know people on there before you actually meet them in person. Then you meet them in person, and it's like you guys already know each other almost. Yep.
That can get dangerous.
Shout out to the internet.
That can get dangerous.
Chris, where can they find you, though, online if they want to put things out in the universe?
Just be careful what you put out.
Yeah.
At Chris Lovaas, KrisLovaa. And you, Rob?
Okay, yep. I'm at Rob Markman, RobMarkMan. Taylor Swift, I swear to God, I was just joking. Please tell your fans to chill. I want my timeline back. I need my mentions back to normal. Nah, it's all good. It's all jokes. But until next week, man, this has been Red Light Special, episode 11.
Yeah.
Thank you, Polly A, for coming.
Wait, I'm the only one who didn't get to spell myself.
Go ahead now.
Spell it out. Okay.
You're supposed to do that. Like,
oh, shit. I got to get my shit up.
Let's go.
A.K.A. P-O-L-L-Y-A. Yeah, now I feel like I'm part of
two channel. L's, not one.
On Twitter and Instagram.
Yeah.
The same. Okay.
Yeah,
man. So check her out, man. Please, the music is very dope if you haven't already. And you know, we be having these listening sessions online, so as y'all listen to the project, let us know what y'all think. Talk to us, we will talk back.
Yes.
And until next week, we're gonna leave you with the sounds of Jake and Papa Starless. Peace. And that's the motherfucking truth.